Hello, I'm Matt, and this is episode 2 of the Plus One podcast. We are to the world of theatre what a clumsy drunken mugger is to an incognito ninja assassin. In each episode, I'll be discussing a current London theatre production with my press night Plus One, which means whichever of my friends, colleagues or arch nemeses fancied having their night's entertainment subsidised by the PR industry. So we strayed a bit off template for episode 1, largely because I was too excited about interviewing James Wilkes from Belt Up to stick to the plan. Which means that technically, this is the first episode of the Plus One podcast as I've just described it. All of which means that Fran Gardner is the Plus One podcast's first legitimate Plus One. Fran is a stage manager for hire. She's worked with the Orange Tree in London and Tabs, Rumpus and Spectrum Drama elsewhere in the country. And if any of you theatre types have a production coming up, I can say, though not entirely without bias, that there's no one better to source your inanimate props and keep your breathing props in their right places. You can contact Fran through her profile on Stage Jobs Pro, which is linked in our show notes. One dark and stormy Friday night in November, I cadged a lift off Fran to the Warehouse Theatre Croydon in return for a complimentary ticket to The Joy of Politics by comedy duo The Black Sheep. Warning, the following contains spoilers for The Joy of Politics, as well as a single instance of the A word. So, we've just come back from The Joy of Politics.
In Croydon.
In Croydon, Croydon Warehouse. We got very wet walking there. The short
sodden,
walk,
if you will.
The short walk from the car, very, very wet indeed. But yes, so it was a satirical comedy show.
Sketch show.
Yeah. Some of the bits weren't really sketches, some of the bits were kind of them talking or interviewing us.
It was weird, it was like, it had loads of sort of TV influences. There was a bit of News Night, and there was a bit of Have I Got News For You, and a bit of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
The very beginning was very much Now Show from Radio 4.
Yeah, and even a little bit mind blank. Say No to Cake, that one.
Oh, the Brass Eye.
Brass Eye, bit Brass Eye as well in places. But all the different influences kind of kept it a bit fresh as well, which I liked.
Yes, it was good, and it passes the laugh test.
Yes, definitely.
Certain sketches had me laughing actually the entire way through.
Yeah.
Would you like to have a go at describing the Nick Griffin sketch?
The Nick Griffin sketch, okay. Well, one of the actors introduced it. Kieran? Yes, Kieran introduced it.
Kieran, who was the red-headed, plummy-voiced public school boy.
Yes. And then revealed who... He did... say who it was going to be, which happened quite a lot during the show.
Yes, they
it
did
said
have
previously they, before things.
They
who
did
they
have
were going
to tell
do.
You who the impressions were supposed to be of, especially before we do Nick Griffin, especially the Martin Luther King sketch, which I thought was the dud.
Yes.
If there was one dud in it, it was the Martin Luther King sketch, which was Kieran coming on in a pinstripe suit and singing, "I dreamed a dream."
I have a dream by ABBA.
Yeah, which. His dancing couldn't really sustain the laughs, and those were the only laughs, because it wasn't like they changed the lyrics to make them funny.
No, it was funny because it got a laugh as soon as the intro came in, and the audience recognised what the song was going to be.
Yeah.
So it was almost like they didn't need to do that whole song, because they'd sort of given the little riff bit.
And
especially since they said quite clearly before, this isn't Barack Obama, this is Martin Luther King, and you can tell because of his moustache. But then when he walked on, he didn't have a moustache.
And I don't see how anyone could have thought that was Barack Obama.
No, that was odd.
I was dreading him coming out blacked up, which he thankfully didn't. I've got in trouble for saying this about people before, but he couldn't sing.
No, well, I wouldn't say he couldn't sing, but there were definitely dodgy notes and bits.
Other songs, he was absolutely fine. He was fine in some of the other ones, but that one, that was a painful segment.
Yeah, the singing as a whole though was very hit and miss. Some of it, Churchill doing "You Can't Touch This" was just hilarious.
I enjoyed
but then
that.
The things where they sung together,
yeah.
Like "Vote for Me," the last song, you lost a lot of the lyrics because they were either not entirely in sync or they were doing different lyrics at one point and then going, oh, we're doing the wrong words. And
although it did at some points in the Karl Marx song, the socialism song at the end of the first act, it allowed them to, it allowed one of them who could, I think Andrew, who could hold a tune a little better, to hold the tune while Kieran sort of spoke the lyrics, and that was good. That, you know, they're playing to their strength, and it allowed them to actually.
Although the music was definitely a good idea, because it was a huge kind of change in pace and style, and everything.
And an audience rouser, really, everyone seemed to enjoy it.
The old lady asleep on the front row woke up for the last song, I noticed.
But yes, where were we? Nick Griffin.
Griffin.
We've teased it now. We've teased Nick Griffin and then gone off on tangents. And I think we've got to. I think we might have to come back to Nick Griffin now.
It's funny, actually, because that was one of the things that you could tell they've obviously just added in because of the whole Question Time thing.
Yes, they've been keeping it topical. There are segments that are they use today's paper in the newspaper sketch and all that kind of thing. But
I noticed. I was trying to sitting there thinking, is this a regular sketch or is this one that they've just added in today? And the Nick Griffin one, you know, they've obviously added in recently. To describe it, it was the very lowest panel in this big wall was flung open, and a body was thrown out of it. But this body was only possibly a foot tall, attached to the chin of Andrew. And it was basically him talking upside down with his...
with little googly eyes stuck to his chin, but they wouldn't stick because he had stubble. All the way through, very good covering when stuff went wrong.
When things went wrong.
When the eyes fell off, he immediately threw in a line about, I would rather my own eyes fell out than see this country, etc., etc. Yeah, I thought they were good. Yeah,
they were
good.
Very good at that.
The improv was good.
Churchill's hump fell off.
Yes, Churchill's hump fell off. We got a gag about where his secret war plans are gone.
Yeah, the curtain came down literally as they walked on stage at the very, very opening, and they made a gag about that.
And so, yes, so just to end the Nick Griffin saga, Nick Griffin just screamed about
it. Literally rants for about 4 or 5 minutes.
But the point being that he's a tiny little homunculus in this sketch and is saying that he is an indigenous Briton and wants all of Britain to look like him. So there was a nice mixture of silliness and satire.
Yes, I want women to look like me in a wig.
Yes.
I want children to look like me, only smaller. And it is very, very funny. I love that.
Yes. I did think at times they went for the obvious jokes.
Yeah.
If there was a point in the show where you thought, I can see an obvious joke opportunity here, they took it.
Yes.
But they didn't dwell on it, which I think was the...
Yeah, and
they're saving grace.
Yeah, and they referenced it quite a lot with Kieran. They were saying, "Oh, this is one of my jokes," and he was doing the whole thing, you know, "I'm so hot."
I should just mention Fran has to reference the program every time she wants to mention either of their names. Otherwise, they would be what was it?
The ginger one and the bald one. Sorry, guys,
if you're listening.
But from a stage manager point of view, very much enjoyed the set and the props.
Yeah, the set was kind of a big wood panelled thing, like a kind of Parliament cabinet kind of thing. They did make the joke that they'd stolen it from the Houses of Parliament. Dark oak wood, with lots of panels flipping open.
Flipping, sliding, all to reveal various different things or characters. Or
the father and son sketch?
I think that was kind of my favourite, actually.
This was the one recurring sketch they did.
Yeah.
With a pipe smoking father figure teaching his spotty public school son why Britain is great. And it really reminded me of the recurring sketch in Goodness Gracious Me, where he claims that everyone is Indian. Like, he's got a bust of William Shakespeare and he's put a turban on it. And he someone walks on, and the whole sketch is he just goes, "Willem Shakespeare? Indian!" And this was a bit like that. It was, Daddy, does Britain win all the wars, Daddy? Does Britain win all the wars and all the sports?
I've got to write an essay, Daddy, on why Britain is great, but I'm having trouble getting started. Oh, well, come down here, young lad, and Daddy will tell you all about it, or something like that. No, I really like that. I thought it tied it in really well, and it explained that they used it as one of the very last sketches, apart from the final song. They kind of they turned it on its head, and they used that scene to describe or explain all the kind of more obscure sketches that people may not have got that had come earlier.
I thought when that turned up that it maybe smacked of... In fact, you even said it, making excuses. Being the sketch was kind of apologist for the show, saying, oh, we've got some material in here we're clearly not very confident about, and we're going to just throw in something at the end to highlight it.
Yeah, you can sort of, you could sense that they'd had people come up to them afterwards and go, what on earth was the bowler hat dance about?
Yes. And then, so... I have to confess, I wondered at the end of the bowler hat dance, what on earth was the bowler hat dance about?
I had no idea what was going on. I admired the dexterity of that dance,
this
I
was
must
almost,
say.
It was a Laurel and Hardy / Morecambe and Wise type dance.
Yes.
They kept kicking each other up the arse and headbutting each other and saying yay or nay.
Yay or nay.
Which they then explain in this final sketch is the back and forth nature of parliamentary debate,
yeah,
satirised in dance form.
Which, once explained, kind of made sense. But at the time I was thinking, I don't know what this is about.
Yes. But I've heard stand-up comedians say that the thing that you think will be a good idea is when something's not working, you say, ooh, this isn't working very well, is it?
You
always think this is a good idea, and it's always a terrible idea, because the audience will then go, well, no, it's not a very good idea.
Tumbleweed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I thought that explanatory sketch at the end smacked a bit of that.
I did appreciate it. I didn't think you're patronising me now. Because I'm not very politically minded at all, as you may know, Matt. And so I was slightly concerned about going to a show about politics, but there was maybe like one gag that went a little bit over my head, but I really got it all. But at the same time, I was looking at people over the other side of the audience who put their hands up when asked if they'd ever been to a political rally and obviously knew exactly what they were talking about it, and they were loving it as well. So it's kind of, both spectrums.
There were gags about historical political figures that might have been not obscure, but at least to our generation,
yeah,
might not be familiar. But then it was gags about the easy ones about MPs' expenses, which anyone can get. Anyone who hasn't had their head in the sand for the last 4 weeks will get a gag about MPs' expenses. So they threw those in. Oh, and of course, having said the one recurring one, we had William Wilberforce as well.
Oh, of course,
who was
yes.
the kind of the trainee MP being taught the ways of Westminster, which I thought was a good device. Although, is the name William Wilberforce familiar to you?
I'm sure there is somebody called...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure either there is or was a politician called William Wilberforce, or he's a pre-existing satirical character. I'm going to have to look this up. I didn't think I'd need to research William Wilberforce.
It wasn't immediately obvious that it was William Wilberforce, the character, every time. They did need to drop in his name at the beginning of each sketch.
Character, yes, the character was the same as all of Kieran's characters.
He was kind of the...
But then it wasn't character comedy, it was satire, when they started talking about how to... It was the tutorial in how not to answer Paxman's questions on the Today programme was the highlight for me. Not to answer a direct question. When asked, would you like a Kit Kat?
Kit Kat Chunky?
A Kit Kat Chunky, I'm sorry.
Which now
I'm still
craving a Kit Kat Chunky now. They said the word so many times.
Yes, and Mars and Snickers. Word out to all our sponsors. But yes, I thought that worked, and that appealed to my my highbrow sense of political satire as well. And the fact that I unashamedly do listen to the Today programme on Radio 4. I quite enjoy listening to John Humphreys badgering the witness.
Paxman.
So this was a very much a joke for me and my people. Okay, final word.
Yeah,
I
really enjoyed it. I would recommend it to people, definitely. It's kind of, sort of a gentle evening's entertainment where everybody laughs and everybody has a good time.
Yeah, it's not world-changing satire. I don't think it's going to... The message was very much everyone's as bad as each other without really proposing an alternative or a course of action. The point of it is to point fun at the system rather than to say, we think this system should be in place instead.
Yeah, pointing and laughing.
The Joy of Politics plays at the Warehouse Theatre Croydon until Sunday the 22nd of November. Tickets are available from the Warehouse website, which is linked in our show notes, where you can also find a link to a slightly more coherent review of the show that I wrote for the British Theatre Guide. The Plus One podcast is hosted by Podbean.com and distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 2.0 England and Wales licence, which means you can copy it, send it to your friends, or satirise it, as long as you give credit where credit's due and you don't try to charge for it. That's it for episode 2, so until next time, don't forget to badger the witness.